moments when, right around Thanksgiving especially, but whenever they start decorating, sometimes even since October, stores start to decorate, and you see lights going up, and so, you know, the old songs start coming into my mind, in my head, and I start singing them out loud, and one of the first ones is, "It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas," right? When I start seeing the lights, that song just keeps going back in my head. I walk into a store or mall, and I start singing that song. And, you know, this year, we're probably pretty eager to put this year behind us, right? Right, there are years when, you know, we all have years in our lives, whether it's nationally, like 9/11, 2001, where it kind of marks the whole year, or even in our lives, there are, you know, in Christy and I, our marriage, there are over 25, 26, we've been married 27 years, there are times or seasons where you're like, yeah, that really wasn't a good year, whether it's financially motivated or caused. There's just years that are like that. And 2020 is going to be one of those years for all of us. We're not going to look back necessarily on 2020 and think, what a great year. But as much as we want to get the year behind us, we still want to stop and pause during the Christmas season. I'm so glad that Christmas comes at the end of the year, because it's a great way to end the year rejoicing and celebrating in the hope that is Christmas. So we're going to be talking over the next few weeks, and I just want to say just what a great job Timothy and Abby and Pete and anyone else that helped with this backdrop that's representing our series, The True Light, based on John chapter 1. And we're, you know, John chapter 1, it says that the true light came into the world, but the world did not recognize him. That's what we're talking about today. Did not recognize him, which is represented with you know, seeing Jesus, seeing and recognizing what we're seeing, and they rejected him. But those who did receive him, that's what we'll be talking about next week, receive open hands to receive the Lord. He gave the right, or those who received him, who believed, that's the third service, those who believe represented by the heart, he gave the right to become, which is the child, to be born again. So we're going to look at those four words, recognize, receive, believe, and become, and end on Christmas Eve. So let's go to John chapter 1 and read it together. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Now, the interesting thing here about John chapter 1 is that Jesus doesn't, or John doesn't start his gospel and telling us about the story of Jesus' birth like Matthew and Luke do, right? Where you have Joseph and Mary, and they're on their way to Bethlehem. He doesn't talk about Joseph and Mary. He doesn't mention Bethlehem. He starts in a very unique way. So John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was the life, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son of God," or Son, "who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Will you pray with me for a moment? Father, we thank you for this word and for the unique introduction that John gives us of your birth, of the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. And we ask that the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, would be living and active today, ministering your will into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this, you know, there are times when we recognize a celebrity. Have you ever seen anyone famous? I remember one time I was on a plane, and my luggage didn't make it with me to Atlanta. So I went to the counter where you say, you know, my luggage, where is it? And there was another gentleman there, and he looked familiar. And I'm like, I think, and I recognized him. He's the actor. There was a TV show in the 90s called Hanging Out with Mr. Carter, I think it was, or Cooper, Hanging Out with Cooper. And he was the coach. It was Coach Cooper. And he was there, you know, I guess celebrities get their luggage, you know, lost as well. And I recognized him, and I said, are you? And he was on his way to Atlanta to do a comedy show. And another time, I was in the gymnasium where my kids, of my kids' high school, and there was a basketball game going on, and there was someone in the lobby, or the mezzanine, and I recognized, I was like, that guy looks familiar. And I'm like, it looks like Steve Smith, the NBA basketball player. Now he's on ESPN. He's retired from basketball. He's on ESPN. But at that time, he was a Atlanta Hawks basketball player. And his son and his son's high school was playing my son's high school. And there he was walking around. And I recognized him. You know, the moments when we recognize people that are famous. And it's always an exciting thing. Well, you know, there are times when people get recognized, but they don't want to be. Like there's this TV show that came out years ago. And I think it's still on. It's called Undercover Boss. And it's where a CEO of a company decides that he wants to get in on the ground floor, wants to know what's happening in his company, but he doesn't want anybody to recognize him. Now, here are some examples. Here is Alan McKim. He's the one there in his suit and tie on one side, and on the other side, there he is with a fake beard on, and he does whatever they can, makeup and to completely change his appearance so the workers won't recognize who he is. He's the CEO of Clean Harbors, a leading company in North America that deals with hazardous waste disposal. And here's a company we all love, Dippin' Dots. Scott Fisher is the CEO and part owner. His family owns the company since 2012, and they have stores in hundreds of shopping centers, thousands of theme parks, stadiums, arenas, zoos, movie theaters, fairs, festivals, checkout lanes, convenience stores, grocery stores, pharmacies, all over the country. And there he is, incognito, working along one of his employees. Well, it is football season. How about NFL Super Bowl champion Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints? I mean, now, you know, when it gets to this level, he's recognizable not just by the employees of the team, of the New Orleans Saints, but by many people, especially where he lives and where he plays. But he is also the co-owner of Walk On Bistro and Bar. And they have 33 locations across Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, North Carolina. So he went undercover into the restaurants that he's a co-owner of to see what was going on. And one more, sticking with the football theme, Deion Sanders, prime time. There he is with his trademark smile, bald head. And there he is on the other side where they made him look much older or much heavier, gave him a fake mustache, a hat, glasses. And this isn't a company. This one's unique because this one is a football coaching association. So these are all coaches. These are all people that are working with coaching kids. And he goes in, and this is what he says. His cover was Willie. His name was Willie. And he was going in as a guy who wanted to get into coaching Little League football and coaching. So he says, everyone thinks that Willie is the one that needs help. But in all actuality, Willie is here to help them. A lot of times people, they don't want to be recognized, so they hide themselves, they cover themselves up. But what's unique about that situation is that, you know, when we think about Jesus, here we have celebrities that are disguising themselves so they won't be seen. And here we have Jesus coming into the world, the King of Kings. And except for a very few, it went unrecognized. And like Deion Sanders, everyone there was thinking, oh, he's the one that needs our help. But he actually was there wanting to help them. The Washington Post, several years ago, did a social experiment. You know what a social experiment is? It's when you do something in public to see how the community or how the people react. A lot of people have made videos about this. They'll be walking along a busy sidewalk, and they'll on purpose drop their wallet. And when they drop their wallet, they want to see what people around them will do. They're recording to see if the people pick it up and keep it, or if they'll run them down and say, excuse me, sir, you dropped your wallet. That's kind of a social experiment. Well, the Washington Post wanted to do a social experiment, and they wanted to know, would people recognize extraordinary beauty or talent if it was in an ordinary setting? Right? They wanted to know if there was extraordinary beauty or talent, right? And these are, I'm paraphrasing in my own words, would people recognize it if it was just in an average place, looking average? So here's what they did. They approached Joshua Bell. Joshua Bell is a world-class violinist. He's a prodigy. He's been playing since he was a kid. He's made over 40 different albums, and he plays the master classics. He's described as a superstar or violin royalty. He plays and fills symphony halls. Many times it's standing room only. And you can imagine the price of admission. Well, they approached Joshua Bell and asked him, would you play just in regular clothes on a subway platform? Kind of like the street performers. If you've ever been to New York City, this is in Washington, D.C., subway. In one of the subway systems in the metro, they asked him, would you do this? So he did. He wasn't disguised to try to look like somebody else. He was just wearing normal clothes, opened up the violin case, pulled out that violin, and started to play. Let me give you a little excerpt of that. Now, Joshua Bell, three days before that, he had filled the Boston Symphony Hall. He also was in Washington, D.C. because he was playing at the gala at the Library of Congress. The violin that he was using is a Stradivari, made by Antonio Stradivari in 1713. And the Stradivaris made in the 1710 to 1720 are considered the best violins ever made. The violin he was using to play that day on the subway is worth $3.5 million. This is no just classical violin player. This is one of the best in the world. And as he's sitting there, 1,097 people just walk right by. Seven of them paused. They didn't stand around for a long time and watch the whole thing. He was there for about 43 to 45 minutes. Seven of them paused. So they tried to stop some of the people that went by and that did stop. One of them was on his way to work, and he was a government employee, Washington, D.C. He was working for the Department of Energy, I believe it was. And he was so organized that he stopped. It says he's more into classical rock than he is classical music, but he just noticed something different. So he looked at his watch, and he saw that he had 3 minutes to spare. So that tells me he's a very organized person, because he realized his commute, he had 3 minutes to spare. So he stopped for those 3 minutes and leaned up against the wall and listened. And then he did something he had never done before with any street performer. He went and actually put something in the violin case and then went on. And they stopped him and asked him why. He says, I don't know why. It's just something, I knew I was listening to something special. Another one was a mom who was walking up. She came up the escalators with her three-year-old. And as she's walking, the three-year-old did what so many three-year-olds do, right? She's walking, and all of a sudden he pulls her, and he stops. He tugs because he sees his violinist, and he wants to hear. He wants to watch. But the mom, in a hurry, stands between her son and Joshua Bell to distract him and keep him moving. So they stopped the mom, told the mom who it was that was playing. And she said, my son is a smart boy. There's one more person I'll mention. Across from where he was playing was a lottery checkout, and people were there purchasing lottery tickets. He says there were at least 6 to 10 people there the entire time waiting in line to buy their lottery tickets. One of them was a Mr. Tillman who bought $20 worth of lottery tickets. And they stopped him and said, did you notice the music? He said, yeah, I heard it in the background. None of them ever turned around to even look. When they told Mr. Tillman who it was that was playing, he said, will he ever be back here again? And he said, maybe, but it's going to cost you. And he said, darn. You know, there's another song that we sing at this time. It's, do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? John the Apostle references that in his next letter, the letter of 1 John, because he says, that which we have heard, what our eyes have seen, what our hands have touched, that's what we proclaim to you. So in this letter, in the Gospel of John chapter 1, he starts off in a unique way by saying, in the beginning was the Word. So let's just very briefly look at that, what he means, and not so much into going deep into it, but just to illustrate, when he says, in the beginning was the Word, logos, was used by the Greeks. It meant the spoken word, right? Logos meant words written on paper, but it also meant thoughts, the word not yet spoken. And it also was used by the Greeks to refer to the rational principles and thoughts that govern all of us. In other words, probably what we would call absolute truths. So they referred to the word as rational principles and thoughts that govern us all. And the Jews used the word, capital W, as a way to refer to God. So John, when he says, in the beginning was the Word, he's using, instead of saying Jesus or Jesus Christ, he says the Word, which would relate to Jews in a positive way. They would understand what he's talking about. But it would also relate to Greeks or Gentiles, non-Jews, who wouldn't really relate to just the Messiah, but they would relate to this Word. Okay, you're talking about the one who, the principles and the laws that govern us all. So let's look at John chapter 1, verse 1 to begin with. And we're going to fill in these blanks because the blanks are each relating to something that's happening in this verse. He says, in the beginning was the Word, referring to Jesus. That's why it's capital in your Bible, because it's referring to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and that is telling us, it's giving him that Jesus is eternal, timeless. He exists beyond time, before there was time, before day one, right? In the beginning of the universe that we know, in the beginning was the Word. John Wesley puts it this way. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was there. So in other words, this Word, this Jesus, the one that was born in Bethlehem, he exists outside of time and before time. He is eternal. Not only is he eternal, he exists outside of time. He says, and the Word was with God. So he's dealing with relationship and dwelling, right? He is eternal, the one that has always been. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's relational, it's dwelling. It's kind of like when we say sometimes on, instead of saying, who do you live with? We'll say, especially on the street, right? They'll say, well, who does he stay with? Oh, he stays with so-and-so. Right. Well, what John is saying, Jesus stays, he lives with, he dwells with the Father. He's in a relationship with the Father. In the beginning was the Word, the eternal one. And the Word was with God in relationship. He dwelt with God. He stayed with God. And the Word was God, which deals with his being and his nature. He is one with God. He is in very nature God. So that's what he said. All of this is in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, the eternal one. In the beginning, he was with God, relationship, and he was God, his being and his nature. And as we move on, he goes on here, and there's more to that. This one who has stepped into time, or who is before time, relationship with the Father, and is God himself. It says, beyond that, in verse 3 and 4, there's a few more things that we need to at least look at. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. So this one that was before time, everything that we see, everything that is created was made by him and through him. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. So that's at least referring to matter and creation. But then he says, and in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Right? In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So it's not just that he created everything, but everything, like the book of Acts puts it, in him we live, and we move, and we have our being. So this one who made all things and keeps them going, he is also, in him we find life, and that life is the light of all mankind. And then he goes on and he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that relates so much to me this year in particular. Right? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because when we look at 2020, which also refers to perfect eyesight, right, or vision, 2020 vision, and every church, every leader, and probably most companies at the end of 2019 were all planning their vision statements and their plans for the year and focusing on, we're going to have clear vision, we're going to see clearly, and then what happens? Everything goes out the window. And it reminds me of what we looked at a few weeks ago with the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. When Paul thought that he was what? Walking in the light, which also means truth, right? Because he thought he was right and everybody else was wrong. And then God blinds him for 3 days so that he can't see anything. He's in literal darkness. And he's realizing how blind he really was. And I think sovereignly God has allowed this year to be a year for us all to realize that as good as we think we see, as much as our plans are made, that he is in control. That he is the light. And the light shines in the darkness. The light shines even in the year 2020. The light shines even through a pandemic. Because the pandemic nor any other darkness will overcome the light that is Jesus. So all things were made through him. He is the life, and that life is the light of the world. So let's go back to this verse just to see what we've just looked at in verse 1. He, in the beginning was the Word, eternal and time. And the Word was with God, relationship and dwelling. And the Word was God, being and nature. And now I want us to go to verse 9. The true light, and that's the theme of our series this month. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That's referring to time. Right, because even we talk about what's your ETA, right? When are you going to get here? If family is traveling, all right, what time does your flight arrive? What time should we expect you? Right. So the true light that was eternal, that has always been, that exists beyond time, was now stepping into time. He was arriving. He was coming into the world. He is stepping into time. And then in verse 10, he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. But now he is in the world. So the one who dwelt with the Father, the one who stayed with the Father, is now dwelling among us, is now walking among us. The one who is in heaven and eternal has stepped into our world in a moment of time. So you see that what John is doing, how he's correlating. This is who Jesus is. He is the eternal one. He dwells with the Father, and he is in very nature God. He has now come into the world. He has stepped into time to dwell with us and be among us. And then he says this, the Word became flesh and has made his dwelling among us. Flesh, in other words, the one who is in very nature God, for the Word is God, has now become flesh, has now become like us. This is incredible. the Word became flesh. So you see the correlation between verse 1 where, and now how he's going on and saying he has stepped into time. He dwells among us. And he has become one of us. So here's how I word it in your notes. The Eternal One, who is one with God and is God, entered time to be one with us by becoming one of us. Amen. The Eternal One, who is one with God and is God, entered time to be one with us by becoming one of us. Well, that video I showed you of Joshua Bell was at the beginning, or was about, I think around 2007. 7 years after that, he went back to that same subway station. And he played again. I want to show you a little excerpt of that. It's interesting there at that moment where it says that one of the busiest train stations in America stood still. And there's so many correlations in that story because he showed up one time unannounced. They didn't recognize him. And he shows up again. But this time it was announced. People knew. They spread the word. And it says that they knew that they were in the presence of greatness. You know, John the Apostle, in his letter, the letter of 1 John, says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So what they wanted to know earlier was, would you recognize extraordinary beauty or talent? At first, they wanted to call it genius. Would you recognize genius if it was in an ordinary setting? And the people said, or Josh Bell said, no, I don't want you to word it that way. I'll do it, but it can't be genius, because he didn't see himself as a genius. He was playing the music of who he considered to be geniuses. So he didn't want that characterization. And here's the exact wording that the Post put. Each passerby had a quick choice to make in an ordinary setting and in an inconvenient time. Would beauty transcend? And it just really just, to me, illustrates the gospel. In an ordinary setting like Bethlehem, in an inconvenient time, would they recognize, would beauty transcend, would truth transcend? And the truth is that, you know, even in the second part we of Joshua Bell returning and playing a second time, that's where the story is different than that of the gospel. Because at least in the reporting of it, they said from the beginning, he wanted, and the whole point was to be noticed. Right? There are people that want fame. They want recognition. They want to be recognized. And a lot of times, it's the guy or the girl who grew up with nothing and then wants to be the rock star, wants to be famous, see their names in lights. But then there's the other story. This is portrayed a lot on Hallmark. My wife, Christy, loves to watch Hallmark, especially during the Christmas season. It's on all the time. And every season, there's at least one or two stories that relate around a prince who wants to find love, but he wants them to love him for who he is, not for his fame or for his fortunes or for his royalty, but because they love him for who he is. Joshua Bell had a crowd the second time around because they had announced that he was coming. Well, John is telling us in those verses, he says, hey, what we have seen, what we have heard, that's what we proclaim to you. We are announcing to you the one who went up into heaven, he's coming back. But unlike Joshua Bell, see, they're able to tell you on this date, he will be back to Union Station. We're sending out save the dates, but the date is blank. Because we don't know the hour or the day. But what John is telling us is that he still says, we don't know the hour that he's coming back, but I'm here to tell you so that hopefully you will recognize that that one who was born in Bethlehem is the eternal one. The one who dwells with God and is God. He stepped into time, became one of us so that he could be with us. And for all of those that recognize to be a part of that. So with everything that's going on, with all the things that we see, with all the things that we hear in the news, this is a season for us to stop and recognize, right? To stop and focus, to stop, even like that one guy that was walking by and says, you know, I don't know what, there's just something, I recognize that this is something special. And for some of us that are here, that are watching, you're probably thinking, I don't know who Jesus is. But I do recognize that he's different. And if you're recognizing that much, then I encourage you to go deeper. To not like the guy who just stood the 3 minutes and then kept going to work. Stay till the end. Press in, listen. And recognize who he is and what Christmas really means. Will you pray with me? Father, we come before you this morning asking, like the word of God says in Ephesians, that the eyes of our hearts may be opened so that we can recognize who you are, so that we can recognize everything about you and what you have done. So that we can enter into that dwelling place with you. So many places in Scripture refer to that. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. I go to the Father. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I go there to prepare a place for you, so that you can one day dwell with me. John 17, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. Anyone who loves me will obey my commandments, and my Father and I will come and make our dwelling place in his heart. The Lord desires to dwell among us, to dwell within you. He came in an ordinary way. And even though he came in an ordinary way, it didn't change who he was or who he still is today. The King of Kings, royalty, the great high priest, the great I am. Let's recognize that this morning and throughout this season. Amen. As we conclude our service this morning, I just want to give a few announcements. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want to let you know that There should be a blue card. We'd love to be able to know who you are. Because of social distancing, we are asking for people to not linger as much and gather. We were starting to do that a little bit, but because of the spike, we want to be a little more cautious so that we can keep gathering. So we'll ask that you do exit right away. And if you wouldn't mind, if there's a blue card, if you're a visitor, we'd love to know who you are. So you'll notice two boxes, which is where we drop our offerings. You can just drop that note in there and let us know who you are. If you're visiting online, please message or put something in the post letting us know who you are. And here in house, if you wouldn't mind taking that little communion cup that you used, and there's a garbage can right over here by this offering box, you can drop it in on your way out. And reminding you of the clothing giveaway, if you can volunteer, it's coming this Saturday, and your offering envelopes will be available next week. And Kids Zone, yes, so parents, don't forget, if you have kids in Kids Zone, go right on up and pick them up as well. The Lord bless you all. We are dismissed.